Excuse me, Veronica.
Yes, what is it, Brick?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Excuse me?
The party, the pants with the pants. Party with pants.
Hello and welcome to the Pants Party. As always, I'm Max Brecky. Along with me, Harrison Starr and Benjamin Ross, fellas. All right, we're recording this like 10 minutes after the conclusion of this Iowa-Maryland game. As you may already know, if you don't know, breaking news to you, Iowa just lost. Almost had another buzzer beater. Didn't happen, but they fought back, they played hard, and you know what? It was the second half was a good basketball game. The first half was absolutely atrocious, but the second half was good, and you know, they played better. You know, not much to say about it, you know, outside of, or not much general to say about it besides that. Guys, how are you feeling about this game?
Well, it was nice to see the defense show up. I mean,
yeah?
go figure, the defense shows up and Iowa can't buy a basket. I thought, you know, you just kind of look down the box score and, you know, it was really three-point shooting which did Iowa in on the Maryland side, because, like, Fernando and Smith, they had four baskets combined for 15 points. Granted, Fernando had the most important one there at the end. But, you know, if you told me you'd hold Fernando and Smith to 15 points, I'd have thought, hey, might be a pretty comfortable win. And it wasn't, you know, it just, that's the way it goes sometimes, and it sucks. But you're not going to win many games shooting 33% from the field. You just aren't.
No.
I'm actually kind of shocked that the game was close. I was ready to put a fork in Iowa when we were down, well, was it about 11 or 12 with about 5 minutes left. Then we went on a nice little 8-0 run, spurned by Nicholas Bear. And it just felt like after they committed the foul, I was actually kind of, I did not want, I can't remember who committed the foul on Bohan at the end. I wanted Iowa to have the last shot, and I think that kind of went against us, kind of like the too much time mentality you might have in football. And Iowa did get the last shot. It just was not a good one. We can talk about that now. We can talk about it later.
No, let's talk about that now. You know, down 1 point. Obviously, I think that if any of us could have chosen a player to have the ball in their hands, it would have been Bohannon. And I think that with that, you know, you're pretty much saying you're okay with a three-pointer, just because that's his game. But it wasn't a good shot. Shot that, I know everybody says that any shot Bohannon takes is a good shot because they're all his shot and, you know, whatever, but that wasn't a good shot.
Yeah, I think the thing that Maryland deserves a ton of credit for is, you know, we talked about the Indiana and I can't remember the other one, they're all blurring together, the Northwestern game, how he was dribbled into both shots off his right, you know, kind of off his right hand. This one, Maryland did a great job having him go left. They doubled him, like they really forced him to pass, even though it didn't really seem like there was a place for him to go. So, like, credit Maryland on that defense, and it felt like you know, it was a little forced, but, you know, getting it up there early did offer the scramble drill. And Moss had a pretty clean look on the rebound, so it sucks, but, you know, that just the way it goes sometimes. It was a nice little stretch run that we had, you know, winning on a couple buzzer beaters, but not so fun on the other side, as I now remember.
Yeah. Go ahead.
As Harrison said, Moss doesn't, or Bohannon doesn't take a bad shot. I mean, that was a bad shot. I would have liked to see, you know, we didn't need a three. I would have liked to see us try. We had 7 seconds left. We had more than enough time to try and get. I really wanted to see maybe Cook on the post, or just try and get, you know, maybe a little bit better look for Bohannon. It looked like maybe he's trying to force a foul at the end, which maybe I'm fine with, but he didn't do a very good job of it. It was just such It looked like you would think that there was absolutely no time left on the clock if you had just seen the shot, when in reality there were 4 to 5 seconds. And I'm just really unhappy with it. But I, more than anything, though, we talked a little bit off before recording about moral victories, and I hate saying that, but I'm just really glad that we didn't just fold. I was really nervous going into this game that Iowa was a little bit fraudulent based off the fact it took buzzer beaters to take down two cellar-dwelling teams in the Big Ten in our last two games. But I liked what I saw from the team. It really was a matter of shots going down, and I think Maryland's good. Bruno Fernando is as good as advertised. Cowan, obviously, is good, great for them. But Maryland's a team that'll make the tournament. Iowa, we know, will, unless something absolutely horrible happens. And these were two good teams today, and I think Iowa probably got better.
Yeah, I mean, I said earlier today, I asked our Slack, I said, am I the only one here who thinks that Iowa's about to get boat raced tonight? And, you know, just with the way that Maryland's a solid defensive team and the way that they can put up points in bunches, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, it was going to be a night where maybe Garza or Cook or somebody, you know, got into foul trouble early, and then, you know, Bruno Fernando and company, you know, were able to do what they wanted to do with Iowa, obviously. Fernando and, you know, what's the other guy's name? Smith?
Yeah, Jalen Smith.
Yeah, Jalen. So those two, you know, they didn't get anything going against Iowa. They were in foul trouble in the first half, and, you know, I mean, Cowan had a great game. Cowan made buckets when they needed to. Fernando, you know, got that basket at the end of the game, and, you know, that's all. I think that's all him, too, because I think I've seen on Twitter people talking about how Iowa didn't box out. There are four guys there, and Kreener's boxing him out, but when he tries to go up, you know, it's a clean rebound for Fernando. He gives a little bit of a shove, but it happens, I guess, you know? Like, you're not going to get that call all the time at the very end of a game, you know, when the refs aren't going to decide the game like that more often than not.
Yeah, no, I mean, Kreener also had to go and defend Cowan. Like, I mean, that was the other piece of it, right? Is, like, you know, I thought it was a really good play that Turgeon had set up, just, you know, a straight pick and roll, but instead of it being a real pick, he slipped it, and he was able to get position rebounding the ball. So it kind of forced Kreener in this little bit of a no-man's land where he did end up defending the shot, but couldn't get his butt on Fernando to box him out, because I do like Kreener's chances if he's got a full box out, but the way that play had really set up, it just, you know, it really, I don't know if it exposed Iowa. It's the stuff that we know that Iowa has trouble at, but I thought that was a little wonky. I thought it was interesting that kind of after a couple, the last two times I was in this situation, they didn't have Connor McCaffrey on the floor. I thought that was pretty interesting. I thought he might have been someone that you could have leveraged, because all eyes were on Bohan, and, like, you play that back, they double-teamed him, and it just felt like, I don't know, it seemed like a little wonky after two great plays that Fran had drawn up. It felt like maybe I don't know. I'm a little all over the place, obviously, but
yeah. I mean, we literally just watched the game. It's fine.
Yeah,
but I think it's, you know, it's what happens. You're not going to go. A team like Iowa isn't going to finish the season on this crazy run. So, you know, it stinks to lose these close games, but, you know, they fought. They were down 11, and I think that's the thing that's most enjoyable about this team now, is there's not quitting them like there was even, I don't know, 2 months ago, and even then that was a little different. Mm-hmm. But this team still has a different makeup, and I think that showed tonight as much as anything.
Yeah.
Real quick, just going off what you said about the play Fran drew up, I guess what I'm, after thinking about more, what I'm most disappointed in is not maybe, you know, I think Bohannon obviously did probably what Fran told him to do, or was plan A of whatever he drew up. And I guess I am more frustrated after, you know, watching Fran drop two great plays in much more dire situations with higher leverage things going on with less time on the clock. Fran you know, drew up a play that I don't think was his best. And I think there are a lot of options. Like, that's the first thing I talked about is how the other options were besides Bohannon. And but yeah, the resolve, the quit, moral victories, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I'm not really disappointed with the play call. You got the ball into Bohannon's hands. Bohannon, you know, got up a shot, and it wasn't a good shot. But like, and I've said, you know, we've already discussed that ad nauseum. But you know, it's who I want taking the shot, especially against a team like Maryland, who has a, you know, interior presence. You know, Tyler Cook is the other option probably, but you know, just thinking about trying to get him the ball with Fernando and Smith down in the post, it's a little bit iffy in my opinion. Just because, you know, they were blocking everything. They were impacting everybody down low in the post that were trying to get shots up. You know, layups were contested, dunks were contested, you know. Nobody was getting an easy basket down there, and so, you know, maybe trying to get the ball to somebody else, but I don't know who else I'd want taking this shot.
Yeah, looking at this stuff, I always 7-19 on layups at Western game. It felt like, you know, they were really struggling down low on layups, and it just felt like it was self-inflicted wounds. And, you know, there were a couple of them there where it's like, oh my gosh, like, what's going on? But it's really tough to fault really anyone on this team, because just kind of looking at, you know, the bench came to play tonight. Like, it was a night where it didn't feel like the starters were really getting anything going. And to me, I think credit to, you know, a guy like Macy Daley. He's been maligned throughout much of this season. He's had probably more bad games than good. And tonight he was a net positive in my view. He played really good defense. He hit a three. He drove to the basket. Just the one turnover. But, you know, anytime you're getting positive minutes from Daley, overall they had, 26 points off the bench, Bear leading at 9. So, like, There are good things to take from this game, and to me, the bench play is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Daley, one of four players in Iowa who is not in the minus, in plus-minus. Yeah, I'm just looking at these stats were just handed to me. It's interesting, you know, we out-rebounded them by 4.
They were just handed to you?
Like, they're in my email. It's
okay.
Modern being handed to me.
Fair.
We out-rebounded them. We shot way much better from the charity stripe. Just looking at these numbers, I totally thought we were going to get killed probably in both those categories, even free throws. It really just came down to shooting percentage from 3. 8 of 26 was Iowa, while you know, Maryland went 12 of 28. And that's how Iowa's game has always been under Fran. They kind of live and die by the 3. And tonight we died by it.
Yeah, I mean, the 3, that's obviously, you said they live or die by it. Sometimes you die by it. My biggest thing with today was against the second worst team at forcing turnovers in the country. Iowa turned the ball over, 15, 16 times?
Yeah, that's a good point, Max. That's a really good point. Because
that's really my only concern with this game. Like, that's my one real negative for this game. Obviously, the shooting was bad. Sometimes the shooting's just going to be bad.
I'm sorry, you cut out. What did you say?
How many times Iowa turned the ball over was concerning.
Yeah, and 14, a lot of those.
I mean, that's kind of 4-3. That's part of the course for Iowa this year.
Sure, but you know, this was the second worst team of forcing turnovers of the season, or in the country.
That's true.
So that, I mean, that's. Yeah. That's yeah. And they were mostly unforced. It wasn't like, you know, they were, you know, playing great defense. It was like, you know, random balls thrown out of bounds, you know, so just dumb shit.
Yeah, and to that point, they also had 20 points off those 14 turnovers. You know, I'm looking at them now, 7 steals. Like you said, it felt like there were, 3 or 4 that were just passes out of bounds. They felt like kind of a team that was tired, even though they've only played, you know, 3 games in the last week or so. But these games they're exhausting to play them the way they're playing them.
Yeah. I don't know. Maryland turned it over 17 times as well. Those 7, like Harrison just said, some of those turnovers were steals. Yeah. I don't think that's what.
How many points off turnovers did Iowa get, though?
Iowa just had 8, I believe. That's what it said in the stat, or in the... just 8 off of 17 turnovers. So, yeah, not ideal there.
No. So, I mean, there's I mean, that's my big difference, I think. That's where I'm, you know, concerned, is that... That's not even a real concern. That's, like, the biggest disappointment of tonight, though. You know, the shooting wasn't good. That's disappointing, but sometimes you just run cold. Sometimes nobody can make a shot, and that'll happen. Like, what can you do? But the turnovers, it was just careless ball control. And, you know, that's come up over and over and over again. And that's
always been a thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, last week, it was much worse, in my opinion, against Rutgers, the ball handling.
Rutgers is a, you know, very good defensive team. You know, that's what Rutgers is known for, is, you know, being very physical. They play, you know, a very West Virginia kind of defense where, you know, they're going to press you, they're going to play hard, you know, physical defense, and, you know, they excel at getting you to turn the ball over. But that's, I mean, it's just, but you are right. It has come up over and over and over again this season. It's come up over and over and over again with this, you know, with these guys. It was a problem last year.
Is there anything that concerns either you guys going forward? Max, I know you've kind of gone on about the turnovers, but is that a concern for you going forward?
I mean, I'd say that that's a concern. That's one of the concerns, just because, you know, it's, as I just said, it's been a theme for this team the last couple of seasons. And, you know, when they don't turn the ball over, they're great. But, and even when they turn the ball over, sometimes they're able to overcome it just because they're such a good shooting good shooting team. But, you know, it is a concern. I mean, defense is a concern, but tonight they played great defense against Maryland. You know, one of the better offensive teams in the country. What are they, 31st? They were coming into the game 31st in KenPom adjusted offense? Like 30th, somewhere
I think
they're
21st in both offense and defense.
They're good.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. Like, this isn't a loss to Rutgers or
Northwestern.
Like, they're a good team. They played well. Like, I mean, they hit shots Iowa didn't. And, you know, I've said this time and again. Like, some of these games, it's just going to come down to who misses shots and who makes them. And, you know, you're not going to
revolutionary.
You're not going to win many games shooting 33%. You just aren't.
No, you aren't.
I don't know about you guys, but, like, I feel better about Iowa after this game than I did going in. Like, I'm totally, I know losing sucks, but I guess I said earlier how I had a lot of concerns about Iowa maybe being a little bit fraudulent based off the fact we needed heroics to beat some not-so-great teams. And, you know, we were right down to wire with a team that I think might be a little bit underrated. I feel good. I'm a little more optimistic for the way the rest of the season goes now after that game, even though it's a loss.
All right, so then let's talk about... you know what? Before we do that, let's... we'll be back after this. Hey, and we're back. So anyway, what was I going to say? Going forward this season, Iowa has 5 remaining games. They have Rutgers, they have Indiana, not in that order. What's the actual schedule? Does somebody have it in front of them? Indiana's next.
Friday. I do, Max. We got Indiana on Friday. Then Tuesday at Ohio State, March 2nd, Rutgers comes to town, and then at Wisconsin on Thursday, March 7th, at Nebraska, Sunday, March 10th.
Okay, so so 5 games left. How are we thinking that Iowa can, you know, finish this season? How do you feel about this team moving forward? I know you just said you feel good about them, Ben. What are you, you know, thinking right now off the top of the head?
I think Indiana, even though they just played a good game against Purdue, we didn't see it. They just lost.
From what I've gathered, it was an absolute terrible, awful game where they were scored like 45 points.
I saw something like Laneford might have the flu or something.
Yeah, he was throwing up on the sideline, I guess.
Oh
my God!
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, and if you think that Bohannon had a bad game at 2 for 11, Carson Edwards was 2 for 20 at one point. I think he finished 3 for 21. So, Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
So anyway, I feel good about Indiana. I already beat them. Ohio State, it is there. We already beat them. And Holtman, maybe a pumpkin. Who knows? Rutgers, we've got bulletin board material left over from then. Wisconsin, Ethan Happ is a fraud. And at Nebraska, Tim Miles is coaching his last game in Lincoln.
So you're saying 5-0?
No, 4-1. We'll lose to Wisconsin. Yeah, but either way, like, as long as we don't go 0-5 and or 1-4, 2-3 would suck, but we'll still get an attorney with that. I think 4-1 and 3-2 are the two most likely outcomes.
Harrison?
Yeah, to me, I think even with this Maryland game on the schedule, I thought that the Indiana game, Rutgers game, and Nebraska game were the easiest ones for Iowa to notch wins. So I don't think that necessarily changes my thought on that. I think, you know, 3-2 would be a great way to finish the season, you know, go in with, you know, a little bit of momentum. 3-2 would also, I mean, I guess the thing about if they were to go 4-1, and maybe this is premature, but if they went 4-1, what that would mean is basically ensuring Iowa's first single-digit loss season since, like, 2006, which was the Northwestern State season. So that would be something.
24 regular season wins would also be a program record.
Oh, it would?
Yeah, 24? 23 is right now the record.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
I think two teams have done 23.
Really?
Nice. So, yeah, I think really just not poop in the bed is really kind of my barometer for success on this one, and that would be 0-5. So I think three, like Ben said, that would stink, but, you know, it still got them in the tournament. It probably means they either don't have a bad loss or they've counteracted that bad loss with a better win. So, yeah, I think 2-3 is probably what we're looking at to finish the season.
Yeah, I think that they can go 3-2 myself. The only games that really concern me are probably Ohio State, at Ohio State and at Wisconsin. Ohio State's been better than they were when Iowa played them. They were really bad when Iowa played them. And obviously at Wisconsin, Wisconsin's a really good team again this year. You know, those concern me. Nebraska doesn't concern me at all right now. That team has absolutely given up. I don't know if you guys saw any of their performance against Penn State, but Penn State put up 95 against them, and they just did not look like they gave a shit. And then, yeah, Indiana and Rutgers, I think there will be wins. I think they'll be closer wins, but wins nonetheless. But, yeah, I just thought I'd get you guys' opinion on what you thought of the rest of the schedule moving forward really quickly, since we were kind of talking about that. Y'all have anything else you want to touch on? Do you guys think that I was going to be ranked next week?
Probably not.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
I don't know. If we beat Indiana, maybe. Why not? We have a lot of points.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. What are they right now? They're 21.
Yeah, they're 21, and are they 17 in the other one?
No, they dropped two spots.
Oh, 21 and 19. They probably end up. You know, let's beat Indiana, and then we can have the discussion about whether they're ranked or not, should be ranked or not. I think they do end up ranked because they do beat Indiana, as I'm in the middle of the Wild Wild West, if anyone can hear. But. yeah, that's my stance.
Are you playing Red Dead Redemption right now?
No, Christina is playing it on surround sound in the other room, so it's a wild time.
You got any more of that moonshine? How mad do you think Maryland fans are knowing that I'm drinking an $18 bottle of whiskey right now?
How mad are they? What?
Never mind, yeah, you're right. I'm drinking cheap alcohol, and it might trigger a Maryland fan.
Oh,
basically. Yeah.
I mean,
that was the joke.
A joke about drinking
what did they
wine
say?
Out of a bag.
They're drinking a 1985 port. I don't know.
We were talking about it in Slack, right? Somebody said something weird on their website about like a $80 bottle of wine or something.
Yeah, so, pretty much. Because that's what you break out when you're playing Iowa in basketball, I guess, in February.
Is the cream of the crop, you know?
Drink a bottle of wine, that is my entire paycheck for a week. Okay.
We should be thankful for that guy not breaking his 72-inch TV. I know that was a risk for the Testudo Times commentariat, so good for him.
Do we have any? What else do we have? We kind of threw this together real last second after this game happened.
We have Indiana Friday.
We just talked about this.
We could preview it. But
sure, Indiana, they just lost to Purdue, which we said, and we think that they're going to win.
Romeo could be, he might be ill, for all we know.
I think he'll probably be fine.
I'm sure he's fine. He'll probably have his best game.
Yeah, he shot like 9 of 10 from the free throw line. The only one he missed is the one that would have, I think, tied the game. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a good point. That was the only free throw that he missed, was the one that kept it tied.
I was following that game actually pretty closely during the first half. It was an awful first half that we watched.
The Purdue-Indiana game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe the larger point, if we want to bring this out, is like, you look at some of these scores that have happened in the Big Ten lately. I guess I don't have it right in front of me, but I think it might have been Dr. Manu tweeted it out, but it was like yesterday with the Illinois-Wisconsin game, that was like 62-58. This Indiana-Purdue one was in the frickin' 40s. This game, 65-66. Granted, a little slower pace, but still, you know, it's 15 conference games with 5 to go. I mean, granted, the first two were in the middle of the non-conference season, so it's like, that's fine, but it takes a toll. This stuff builds up. I think kind of my concern going forward is Luka Garza against Juwan Morgan. I'd like to see him maybe get it going a little bit, but that's maybe the biggest concern that I actually have about this team right now, because Iowa needs Garza.
Yeah. Are we concerned about Garza?
I am now.
He hasn't had. I know. I predicted him to have a. I mean, that was my bold prediction. My only prediction for tonight was he would have a great game. He had Iowa's first 4 points, and he ended the game with 5 points. Right?
Yeah, I think that's correct.
He hasn't had. When was the last time he had a double-digit scoring effort? It's been. I don't think he. It's been
4 games now.
So it's not since January. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either. Tonight I kind of figured he wasn't going to put up a ton of numbers just because of the inside presence from Maryland, but, I mean, what is it? He's had 4 points and 4 points, 0 points, 7 points, and now 5 points in his last 4 games.
Is there a big doctor on Fran McCaffrey's coaching staff? We know Spiro's a shot doctor. Who can get Garza's confidence back?
I think it actually will be Spira, or however his name's pronounced. I think what he might need is just like a day in the, just a great film session. Because against Indiana was, you know, he fouled out there, 1 of 4. I think, you know, just sitting down, going through tape, offense, defense, what's he got to do? To me, I think that's probably the type of thing he needs, because, yeah, I mean, prior to that was the 6 straight 20-point games? 5+.
Yeah, he was great.
5, one of them being 19. Like, I mean, he's got it. It's in there somewhere. Let's find it again.
Yeah, he's really, it really has felt like he's been the missing link between, you know, Iowa's, all the close games come down to, you know, he's the outlier on the box scores, really, in just about every category. and it's really just front. He was minus 11. His plus minus was his split was minus 11 tonight, which is like Kobe-esque.
Yeah, plus minus isn't everything, but you know when you.
I don't even know what it means. It
means that Maryland scored 11 more points than Iowa did while he was on the floor.
Is that it? Just it? It's that easy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
All right, I'm gonna mute myself for a while.
All right.
No. It's fine.
No, yeah, you deserve it. Take a 2-minute timeout.
But I think that's kind of the concern that I have. Wieskamp, I think he's just hitting kind of the freshman wall a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna have those kinds of games. He wasn't even really was he particularly bad tonight? I just kind of didn't notice him.
Yeah, it was more like you didn't really notice him versus that. I mean, he sat 14 minutes in the first half.
But he ended up with
three fouls. It's like, hey, you know, just trust him. But Frayn doesn't trust anyone with two fouls.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that he had two early fouls in the game. I was thinking that was Luka, but no, it was definitely Wieskamp. I'm a little bit concerned with him. What was Cook's line tonight? I don't think Cook really did much tonight either.
No, I mean, to me, that was kind of the funny thing.
Who did do something?
6 points. He had two really good dunks. He had that nice little play to Garza on the horrible alley-oop attempt.
Yeah.
Or did he just have three dunks? He might have had just all three dunks.
I wanted Cook to take the shot at the end, man. I think Bohannon could have found him, and Cook could have made Bruno Fernando cry a little bit, and we'd be talking in something way different right now.
Yeah, I think that, to me, if we get back to that play, I think that was the initial play, was to run a pick and roll to Cook, kind of on the side.
I think you're right. I think that's how it looked.
Callen didn't let Bohannon get to his right, so it really blew the play up. Like, I mean, to me, that's better defense than it is offense, and it just kind of left Iowa without an option because they couldn't run that action. But yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of with you, Ben. Like, I feel a little more encouraged about this team after this loss, especially as we have this little therapy session. Because I don't think they can play that badly again. And now I just jinxed it for Friday night.
Nice work.
All right, well, pencil and the loss are going to go 1-4 now. Thanks a lot. All right. Really quickly, if we go and talk a little bit of football, the number 8 in the NFL draft to the Detroit Lions this upcoming July, whenever the draft actually is. Do you think that's high? Do we think that's proper?
So this is something prior to when I thought like Noah Fant was going to be in this situation. Is the highest tight end that's been drafted within like the last 10 to 15 years.
Was it Njoku?
Maybe ever. Out? Let me look this up, but it's Eric Ebron at 6, yeah. I think. And that is the highest a tight end's ever been drafted. So, yes, it's insane for TJ Hockenson to be going 8, but I'm very happy that he's right there.
But you know what? Eric Ebron was drafted by the Detroit Lions at number 6. The number 8 pick would belong to the Detroit Lions, so I guess that we can't exactly rule it out.
You can take the Matt Millen out of the Lions, but you can't take the Lions out of Matt Millen. Or you can, I don't know. You know what I mean. So,
did you already say who has the 8th pick?
What was that?
Who has the 8th pick? Is it
Detroit? Lions again? Detroit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. They're going to take him.
Except I don't want to do that
because then, I mean, you cheer for the Bears and, you know, the Bears are going to beat Hockenson twice a year, and I cheer for the Vikings and the Vikings will beat Hockenson twice a year. And
they'll probably beat him once because Kirk Cousins, the $84 million man, will blow it, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, cool. Maybe if they took out field goals in the game of football, the Bears would do something, but who knows. So, anyway.
Okay, double so it blank. Is Kellen Winslow and Vernon Davis were both picked 6th, and then Eric Ebron was 10th.
And Vernon Davis is known as like having the greatest combine of all time, right?
Yeah.
Sweet potato yams.
So yeah, I think it's kind of insane that Hockenson's that high up boards. Because I think my thought on Fant versus Hockenson, I thought it would be like both of them kind of in the middle of the late first round, and then you would see the combine would happen and then Fant would really take over. But just seeing Hockenson so high so early, it feels like it's going to take a lot for him to drop, even out of the first round.
Yeah, I think that Kuiper is calling him already the next Gronk, which is crazy.
How much of this do you think is the Kittle effect?
100%.
95%.
Love it. All in. I'm a hard agree.
You know what? Maybe that means we can get some nice...
Yeah, it's 100% the Kittle effect.
Maybe we could parlay that into some nice tight end recruits. Not to say that what we have on campus isn't good, but, you know, keep moving forward. Maybe Hurry gets a couple 5 stars this upcoming recruiting cycle. Would be nice. But unless y'all have anything else to say, I think we could probably about wrap this up, yeah?
Maybe just one... let's do a Jerry Kill minute. Jerry Kill.
Okay.
I listened to it. Max, did you listen to it?
Of course you did. No.
I listened to it. I sent it to my dad and uncle, who are huge, huge Minnesota guys, and they both said separately, I sent it to them separately, they both arrived on their own that he sounds jealous. And I could not disagree with that more.
Yeah, I don't know if Jerry Kill is the jealous type, to be honest. Is what, he?
Jerry Kill just took an AD job somewhere, didn't he?
Here's the thing that people, this is what I think is a funny, let me pull up his Wikipedia so I don't get this wrong. But Jerry Kill, he left Minnesota under some controversy. There was some stuff going on with his offensive coordinator. Norwood Teague, the athletic director who hired him, is one of the worst people on earth. Just a horrible, horrible person. So Jerry Kill, he saw what was going on, and Jerry Kill legitimately, he had cancer, he has seizures, he legitimately has health issues.
Sure.
And so he retired from Minnesota saying, this is killing me. And yes, absolutely do that. Within a year, he took a job at Rutgers. how vexing does the Minnesota athletic department have to be to make someone who's got serious health issues move to New Jersey
to coach at Rutgers?
Like, I think that's the biggest indictment on Minnesota athletics of all time.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with you there. I know that you like to talk about how awful that athletic department is. I'm much less familiar as a...
It is my favorite topic of discussion, and it's not even close. Number two would be like
beer.
My kill death ratio in Halo 2.
What is it?
It was in the threes.
Huh. So you had no life.
Had?
Fair. Yeah, now he's the... Jerry Kill's the athletic director now at Southern Illinois. Good for him.
Good for Jerry Kill.
Yeah.
I guess for the full quote, and this is really, I got rid of it.
We haven't even talked about the content of what we're talking about.
Oh yeah, here it is. Okay, so Jerry Kill. Root for the Gophers? I do.
Well, no, let's set this up. This is on, who is it, AJ Hawks?
Yes.
AJ Hawks podcast or radio show.
Yes.
And he just had Jerry Kill on and asked him about PJ Fleck.
Yeah, and he says, do I still root for the Gophers? I do. Do I enjoy him running up and down the sideline? I do. Do I think he's about the players? No, he's about himself.
Hell yeah.
I thought he said, I do not like him running up and down the sideline.
He set it up as questions.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me. No, I do not.
Yeah, he said no. Yeah, he said no to the last
He doesn't year. Like anything about PJ Fleck.
Yeah.
There, and that's it.
Who does outside of Minnesota?
Yeah, that's a great point. Tow the boat.
Is your family, are they big PJ Fleck guys? Do they row on the boat? Do they really believe?
They row the boat so hard. They row it so hard. To their credit, it's not to their credit. But they do hate Pitino too, so they're not just total Kool-Aid drinkers. They hate Richard Pitino, but they love PJ Fleck, and I mean, kind of. How can you not? Like, they beat Wisconsin for the second time of my lifetime this year. Yeah.
That's fair.
How can you not like him?
After that, if Iowa had a long drought against Nebraska or Iowa State and somebody new came in and won in year two. Yeah, I guess that would buy him a lot of goodwill on my part. All right, well, with that, I think it's pretty safe to say that we could wrap this thing up.
Yeah, let's do it.
For Harrison and Benjamin Ross, I am Max Brecky. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Mock Farrowind.